Lord, I have your word and I know it's true. I have everything it says I have. I am everything it says I am. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My brother, who I love, is over there somewhere. When did you submit me that thing that you now is your love and joy of typey typey on the pooter? When did you give me that? So about then? Okay, you listening good today? You might be hitting me for plagiarism today. You know, God moves in our hearts and God moves in supernatural ways, and he speaks to us. And each of us, you have to understand, he's going to speak to you in a way you understand him. Amen? And so when he reveals himself and he speaks to you, what I want you first to really recognize and do, and I'm bringing Nolan up into this just before we start, to recognize that if you don't write it down, you're not going to remember. You're just not. Stop relying on your memory. Stop trying to rely on these things. It's going to fail you. Furthermore, not every time that God gives you something and you write it down, is it specifically for you. And so my brother submitted it to me, and I prayed over it, and God told me what it was about and what God had prepared for him, something he wasn't wanting to do. He thought it was just something that I needed to preach on, or that he would preach on. And but it's a worldview, and it's a biblical worldview, and some things that are wrong in the church that need to be fixed if we're going to be able to change this world. And I'm summarizing that, but I'm bringing it up today because today what God had given me, and I'll even tell you, he was putting me in 1 Corinthians. And I started in 1 Corinthians, and I'm exploring 1 Corinthians, which, by the way, Steve, if you look at it, it's in parentheses and italicized, but it's not actually in today's sermon. The reason is because I could have preached on what he'd given me. And I started that way. And then God said, but they need to understand why. And I said, that's true. What do you want me to do then, Lord? And then God just, pooh, here, pooh, here, pooh, here. So today is very informative, but I need you to first take a moment, get rid of everything you think of in your mind. Okay? Any preconceived notions, any preconceived ideas about things that are in this world and the things that are going on. Whether it's political, whether it's religious, whether it's scientific, whatever. All the world systems, just get rid of them for right now. Because you need to understand what God is trying to do and what he's trying to show us today. Not just in his word, but also in the information that he is divinely implanting and expressing to you guys today. Because what is coming is part of this consistency that we're going to see throughout this year of areas we need to get ourselves in line and fixed in. So I have one big question for you today. Where is the church? The church, not this church. The church of Jesus Christ. Our God has paid for everything and has given everything to us so that we can be effective in furthering his gospel and completing the commission that he has given to us, which is what? To go preach the gospel, the good news, right? Laying on hands, right? Making disciples. This is something he had given us to do. He told us explicitly what we are supposed to do. Has this message changed at all? Has the gospel message changed at all? Right? What is the gospel message? Does everybody here know what the gospel message is? Go and tell them that Jesus Christ the Son of Man, the Son of God, paid for all sins, paid for them on the death on the cross, so that all men could come to the Father. How? Through Him. There's only one way, right? And that you have to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Okay? This is the gospel. There is no other message. There is no other way that a man can be saved. Amen? There is no other way to escape the condemnation that we are under unless it comes through Christ. That's it. Okay, this is the gospel. Sadly, the church has become a museum, pointing out facts. It's just filled with people eager to learn and a few people willing to teach all the glory that it once held. The church was something magnificent. It was doing those things. If you're not sure what it looked like, read Acts. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be doing. That's what it's supposed to look like. Though this may be sad, I don't want us to get too down, because there's more to come. But do you think that this current status that the church is in, that people want to come and be a part of that? We have what we have. We have an issue. The Church of Jesus Christ is beaten, tattered, torn apart, isolated. And we need to get our act together. Amen? And that's what this is going to be about. It's going to be a little while. So I want you to understand it's going to be a journey. We got a few here at least. But today is going to be, hopefully, eye-opening. Mark 14, verse 27. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." We understand that in this very spot where Jesus was speaking, he was obviously prophesying what would be happening. What happened? He was going to be seized. He was going to be struck literally, beaten, nailed to a cross. And in all of this, because of where, because of how, because of the know and the knowledge of his movement, that every person associated to him was also going to be under the same scrutiny. And Jesus knew that they were going to bail. "But not me, God. I'm not. I would never." Watch out, rooster. Keep this scripture in your mind and hold on to it. Ezekiel 34, verses 4 and 5. "The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them." Talking about shepherds. "So they were scattered." What are they? The sheep. "Because there was no shepherd." I want you to understand, though they thought themselves to be shepherds because, after all, they cared for the flock, God's rule of what caring for the flock versus what they viewed as caring for the flock were not the same. And in God's eyes, you could call yourself a shepherd all day long, but in his eyes, there were no shepherds. And the sheep were scattered. And because there was no shepherd, they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Hold on to that point and go to 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Who is that lion, the devil, trying to devour? And you are sheep. And why would you be able to be devoured? Because you are scattered. All because there is no shepherd. Or that shepherd has been struck. Now, Pastor, wait a minute, hold on a second. Jesus is our shepherd, right? And then when you brought that up, in Mark, Jesus was speaking of himself being struck. That's true. Okay. But you are not putting all the pieces together. My job is to do that for you. Jesus paid the price. Amen? Jesus went to the cross. He did this. This was in the past, right? His words, were they not for the disciples at that time? They are. Is that word not still relevant today? Okay, to whom? Is it? How? How is that word relevant to us today? Are we sheep or are we disciples? Oh, right? Okay, hold on a second. Let's take this in now. You think we're both. You might say yes. You might say, yeah, sure, I understand. But I'm going to take you to the next level. The next level is understanding that because we are all found in Christ, we all come under that same banner of being who? Jesus. Right? We are Him. We are in Him. He is in us. Together we are one. Right? Collectively, we are the body. Jesus is the one true shepherd. But now we see ourselves in a position where we are among Him as the shepherd, but also as sheep. So what happens? Where's that no shepherd problem? See, the shepherd being struck, that was Christ taking the hits, all of that at that time, and then that happening. But when you go to Ezekiel, you have a different picture being painted, which is the absence of the shepherd. Or because the abuse that the shepherds had laid onto the sheep. Do you not understand the correlation that's being drawn between these two? In both relations, though, what is the end? The sheep are scattered. Here's the deeper picture, or the bigger part, the puzzle piece that you're missing. We all are part of this one group of not just being sheep, but also being subjected to this control of being under that same shepherd, who is Christ. If you're not, then you are under no shepherd, and you are scattered. Stop looking at me or anybody else in your households or churches to be the shepherd of your life. You're supposed to be submitted to the shepherd. And if you're not, you are running a risk of being scattered, which leads you to a very dangerous place. In order to get through this completely, we have to understand what is God trying to say. Because very easily I could throw this all out on the table and go, you guys will get it. I'm not going to assume that. I'm going to assume that you get a part of it. So rather than clarify that, I'll give you the deeper picture. God's plan is for His people to be our DNA, our mind, our body, our will, and our emotions all fall under the unification of Christ, that they're submitted to Christ. Does anybody got that down pat? Working it out still. Got it. Understood. Okay? And The reason for this is not because God wants us all. Can you go back to the first verse in Mark? It is not just because he is looking for us to be all collectively together as though this is some way to just keep us in line. That's not the case. It is because when we are together, we are strong. But when we are scattered, we are weak and we are easy to be picked off. Okay? Long time ago, Pop was here and he preached a message about a tank and all that jazz. Don't confuse this message with that message. Please don't. Because they are not the same. We are talking about proximity to God in the latter. This is not about proximity. This is not about how much your life lines up with the things of God. This is not about that. This is about you and me and him and her and you and you and you. Not me to y'all. Do you see the difference of what I just said? But if we're not all saying the same thing, and we're not all of the same mind, and we're not all of the same gospel, we are easily able to fall into this place, which is where the church today currently exists. Which is everybody saying something different. Everybody's got a different flavor of the month. Hey, we got a special rug. Come and worship at our church. Why? Because we got a special rug. What's so special about the rug? Well, last time James was here and he laid on the rug and he got healed. Of what? Herpes? They make creams for that. But still, we rather capitulate to all kinds of other things rather than the one thing that unites us. Christ. And the message that we all should be saying the same thing. The gospel message of Christ is given to us. That's it. But because God's plan for unity and the strength that is found in that unity, we obviously see, if you could go back to the last one, Steve. Not that one. Yep. Thank you. That the devil, the enemy, our adversary, is not going to allow us to maintain that unity because that strength is very bad for him. Because what happens if the Church of Jesus Christ is united in that one faith, that one gospel, and moves in the power and might of God in Christ Jesus, what happens to this world? What happens to this world? God will move in his people to reveal the message and the truth and the light of Christ that will change the lives of every single person in this world. Which is his plan. Which is why Christ paid the price. So all of that, knowing that is the truth, the devil is very invested in making sure that that does not happen. And the way he can ensure it is scatter. If y'all are scattered, not only are you easy pickings, but you're not working together and you are not strong. But I want to highlight something that's very important, and that is the word devour. Because many people misunderstand what this word means. Devour usually means consume. Yes? Okay? And in this case, it does still hold on to that true word. But consume doesn't necessarily mean, like in this case, we think of a lion devouring you. It'd be like bear mauling, and you're probably not going to look pretty at the end of that attack, correct? Not one I would want to go and press my luck and say, can we have a Daniel 2? Okay? I'm not looking in for that, all right? God did this with Daniel. I'm not going to press my, I'm not going to press that button with God and go, hey, can we reprise this Bible verse and I want to see if it works again? Matter of fact, I'm going to upgrade it. Give me 4 lions. I'm going to see if you can do it. No, I'm not doing that. Not tempting God. But if we take this and we understand it, it's not this physical maul or this physical consumption, but it's a consume in a different way. And it's real. And you don't have to dig deep to find it. You don't have to look hard. You will see that in what I'm about to reveal to you, A, how the enemy has scattered, B, how he is devouring. And I want you to listen to everything that is about to come out. Are you ready, church? All those preconceived notions have been tossed out. Devouring. Suicide rates are the highest that they've ever been, especially in the youngest generations today. That's a fact. Between ages 12 and 17, it is up almost 50% in the last 10 years. Between the ages of 18 and 25, it is up almost 40% in the last 10 years. I want you to understand, the church now, today, is not your church, right? Because to be honest, you've been churched. You've been churched, you've been raised, you've been polished, you've been primed, and your duty, right? I just want to, not trying to, you don't have to tell me your age. Over 60s, please put your hand up. Okay? You guys are technically done. No, I mean seriously. As in the sense of what your responsibility was to. The generation you were responsible for? 40, 50s, 40s, 30s. Hands up. That was your responsibility. Okay, so guess what? Between the 50s and the 30s, guess who we're responsible for? The last 10 years. Currently in this house, there is one between 12 and 17. And with a rate increase of 50% in the last 10 years of suicide, I don't like that. Because there's just one here. Why is that a case? Well, let's go to the next facts. Schools are failing at teaching the kids basics in the key grades between 1 through 8. That is not something that is hyperbole. That is fact. You can go look it up and see how bad that states in education between 1 through 8 in the state, in the country, just here, not saying this is worldwide, this is just here, are failing to educate the children. Reading and math are 2 to 10% below historical averages. I want you to understand what that means. Just so we have a clear understanding of historical averages, that means as long as they have been testing for the how adept children are at reading and math, they've been calculating and tabulating that. I would be willing to say that's been going on since probably the 1930s. I could be wrong. They're 2 to 10% lower than the historical average. That means all of the add-ups up until the current, the most recent scores in the past 5 years are 2 to 10% lower than that historical average. Which is going to obviously do what to the historical average? Drop it down. Which means it's trending in a very wrong direction. In contrast to this, the use of social media is at an all-time high. Correlation? I believe so. 6 to 7 of those platforms, social media platforms, consume an average of 145 minutes a day. That blew me away. That is almost 2.7 hours a day. Divided between 6 to 7 social media platforms. No offense, I hate them. And you, and you, and you, and you probably are on one. And barely on maybe, well, you're an exception to the rule. I know you are not, and I know that you probably are not, correct? Maybe one, right? Right? And you're not on any of them, right? So, generally speaking, guess where? The young generation is learning about all of that. What we do and how we live and what we represent is pouring out into a younger generation. And here's the difference between you and me and that one that's over there. We know when to stop. I want to also highlight, not in my notes, but do you understand that, and I will name them because they are Venom, and I'm going to call on evil and Venom where I see it. Instagram, TikTok, not Facebook as much, not Twitter as much, but Instagram, TikTok, and Snapchat are the worst three known to mankind because they create an actual chemical reaction with 5 second clips of entertainment that actually are damaging the brains of the youth. It is a chemical reaction that is actually creating a unnatural chemical response in your brain that is causing actual damage to the brain. It is creating a generation of people that you thought McDonald's gratification systems weren't correct. Like, we had McDonald's and we were like, okay, that took too long, right? Because fast food was our generation. That was it. And we thought that was quick. They're like, they couldn't do speed and cocaine and have that much going in their system. It still isn't fast enough to fulfill their desire and their need. That level is so high that they cannot actually keep up. And so guess what that chemical reaction does to them? It brings them into a zone where if their attention is not met within 2.5 seconds, they tune out. Young sir, does that sound about right? From the generation. And because this is starting at an even younger rate with youth today, the total consumption over an average lifespan, this is ridiculous, is between 5.3 and 5.7 years of consumption on social media. Over an average lifespan. And that's because they are starting on it when they're like 10 years old. I'm just being generous. I'm being generous. And considering what that average lifespan is getting, especially with modern medicine and all of those advancements, people are living longer. That's a fact. Even though the rates of suicide are contradicting that number. If you don't, you know, kill yourself. I'm trying to be kind, but I'm just not going to do that. You tend to live longer now. It's pretty good. All right? So that number's going to go up then, isn't it? Five, almost 6 years of a person's life. How much could you do in 6 years, Beck? you could probably do quite a bit. Huh? Yeah, right? You could be a doctor in 6 years. You could still have a master's. That doesn't suck. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can do some serious work with 6 years of just focused time. Now I want you to go and just remind yourself of what the objective of the enemy is doing. Just as a brief pause. Now this gets even more serious. And again, please, do not just take what I'm saying as gospel, Bible, or any of the sorts. I encourage you, go look me up. In addition, young men are less interested in relationships in a deteriorating intimacy structure with unknown gender roles and sexual gratification made possible without any intimacy. If you don't know what I'm talking about, read in between the lines. Where'd they get that from? You can't just blame the internet for everything. Okay? Though it's there, and I'm not removing the fault of the internet. But to be clear, young men are not looking to find a mate. Guess what that means? Birth rates are on the decline. Also facts. Average household family size is now 1.5. From 20 years ago, where it was 3. That is a 50% decline in 20 years of actual family sizes. Huh? Yep. Okay. You're not alone in that fight. I just want to put that out there. Okay, but there's not enough of you guys out there to make up for the lack, just putting it out, okay? And I'm not encouraging anybody to go over that number, just to be clear. Alright? That requires a full army. Now, on top of this lovely stat, young women are seeing relationships as opportunities to express their sexuality and a society that encourages that sexualization at even earlier ages. Why is all that stupid information relevant? I call it stupid information because honestly I didn't want to have to do an information dump into everybody because I know what God is saying, and I also know that that can become very boring, and you have to substantiate it all. Maybe if you're a guy who's like the guy out there, he's going to turn around and go, I'm going to go fact check you later. I'm going to say, by all means. Okay? But I'm pointing all of this information to you guys because if you don't understand what the scattering looks like, you will think that it doesn't happen or that there's some big super spiritualized visualization that is here. And I'm trying to tell you, no, it's very real and it's very much in front of your face. And you need to wake up and pay attention and smell the roses. The scatter is here, it is now, and it is absolutely affecting this current generation. Actually, I would even go as far to say generations. Because I keep forgetting that there is two. Because you have the millennial generation and the Z's. Huh? I'm not counting that one yet. That hasn't grown up enough into maturity for it to be qualified as a generation. Because they might merge that into another one. They did with the Xennial junk. And I don't buy into that. So, whatever. Alright? So, that being said, the church of this generation is scattered because the shepherds that were in their care were not there. End of discussion. This is the Church of Jesus Christ not being present for 20 years. And that's what happened. COVID had nothing to do with it. It's predated COVID. Though they will tell you, and if you go look up all that stuff, you're going to see a whole lot of stuff blaming COVID. Oh, yeah, the education, all the COVID issues and all the COVID stuff. Yeah, no, that stuff was trending 5 years before COVID even happened. Yep, they will not know anything. They are being educated to not know the things that matter, and they're being educated to know the things that keep the indoctrination machine running and keep them from ever going to the church. Matter of fact, certain places, not going to talk about certain states because I'm just going to leave that out of my mouth, but certain places and certain states are actually teaching how the church is evil and how God doesn't exist. They're not supposed to, because there's this lovely thing called a separation of church and state. But that doesn't exist, but they'll use it to tell you, you can't talk about Jesus in school, but yet you can do the opposite? You don't train your kids. This is what happens. But this has led to the devouring by the devil in forms of death and deviance that are historic. And I want you to acknowledge that. That this is historic. This is a very, very drastic separation from just one generation to another. These types of effects weren't felt in such a small gap between one generation to the next ever in history. Ever. Things like this were transpiring over 4 or 5 generations prior that those effects would start to happen. So what happened to allow all this to occur? Well, here's the truth. We, the believers in Christ, have failed to come together and demonstrate the unity of the body. That's our first fail. And why? Because we adopted an independence in Christ philosophy as our responsibility for our walk is our own. That is a lie. The most vicious lie to infiltrate the church was not a me and Jesus type of thing, but the fact that, well, you're responsible for your walk. That's false in two avenues. First is, you suck. I would not want to be responsible for my walk. Because if I was responsible, which I know what I was like when I wasn't saved, that my responsibility to my walk was, I'm going to walk onto all the wrong things, and I'm going to touch all the bad things, and I'm going to do all the stupid stuff. That's what happens when I'm responsible for my walk. But when I come under the saving grace of Christ, I'm no longer responsible for my walk. He's responsible for my walk. And I'm not just walking alone, I'm walking with him, and I'm walking with you. But we paraded this as being responsible, all the while we developed a mentality that what I do in this kingdom is based circumspectly only in what you can do. Well, I can do this. Here's my contribution to the kingdom. I do this. This is what I can do. Here's my gift and talent. This is what I can do. Here's my part. And then what leads into the next step? After all, well, I did my part. What more do you want from me? I've already done my part. I did what I needed to do. This leads to an overwhelmed state. How many people are overwhelmed? This then leads to isolation, and a demonstration of God's involvement in the lives of his people becomes indiscriminate and myopic. I use big words. Look them up. The end result? The Church of Jesus Christ has lost its worldview. We no longer see anything beyond the bounds of what is right in front of us. Most importantly, ourself. And we don't think of, we do not concern ourselves with the affairs of, we do not view or even want to know what is going on in any other region, area, place known to mankind at all. Not going to even talk about missions because that stat is also very, very, very grim. With all this evidence of the scattering, devouring of innocence and fellowship, the world is being indoctrinated into isolation and believing that the echo chambers surrounding them genuinely care for their well-being. This is what plagues the generations today. What are the echo chambers? No. No. We're going to go even further. I told you, I'm calling out evil today. I don't care. That LGBTQ crap, echo chamber. Because they don't listen to any outside anything whatsoever. They only listen to themselves. That's called an echo chamber. Right? How can you learn if the only thing you ever hear is the same supporting opinions that line up with what you believe? This is going to come in just a few minutes. All of these things are leaving people in these ISO chambers. And this is social isolation. I just want to make sure you're aware. What I'm telling you is social isolation. It is creating a society of people that are perfectly fine being by themselves. And it is an insidious plot by the enemy to keep you that way so that he can literally rip you to pieces. And this is how he does it. He disguises himself as a wolf in sheep's clothing, and he steals those that should be brought into the fold for actual care and love. The church is failing all because it has become more focused on the ideology and status rather than the gospel. Not only has this affected these generations, but it's created more isolation in the form of religion and separation from other parts of the body. I wish I was done, but I'm not. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 11. I love Paul, by the way. I do. I do. I really do. More and more time I'm just spending and spending and spending in word and and just digging and digging. I find I'm just like, I really just want to when all things are said and done and I get to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I'm going to worship him and I'm going to go, hey, where's Paul? I need to hang out with this guy for a little bit. Anybody ever read this verse in 1 Corinthians? Or is this one of those ones you probably don't have highlighted in your Bible, I bet? This is one of those ones you probably just skipped over. Got it highlighted in yours? Do you really? Oh, nice. Good. Oh, no. Yeah, no. I like this one just by itself. I do. Not that the other stuff, contextually, I know we talk about that in Bible study. That's all important too, but it's so simple. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. This is really simple. I like Paul. Paul speaks my language. Paul speaks simple. I am simple. I like simple. Simple, less steps. Less steps mean more chance for me to mix it up and confuse it. Right? Paul, he's my guy. That's what I like. I like it that way. But Paul is also a very humble guy. Do you guys agree? Paul is quite humble. Why would Paul be humble? Paul was Saul. Saul, not a good guy. not really great in any spectrum whatsoever. But after he went from his Saul to Paul transformation, he became very grateful for being Paul. But he also remembered how he was Saul. And in all he remembers, he constantly lowers himself because he never sees himself as being worthy. The only reason he is worthy is because of Christ Jesus. Can you understand Paul? Can you relate to Paul? Be careful about that. But because he understands and he gets his position, he sits at a table that he openly admits and agrees that he does not belong in. And what is that table that he currently sits in when he's writing this letter to the Corinthians? He is considered one of the apostles. Why does he believe he does not fit into that category? Not only did he persecute the church, but he also was not there with the original disciples when they were with Christ and walking with him and learning from him firsthand. Paul got this after, with a supernatural encounter from Christ Almighty himself. Which, you want to know something? Guess how many of you people come to that real life realization that your life is not yours, you've been bought for, you've been paid for with a price, that you are here divinely purposed with a plan and a mission for God. Do you know that he wants to do that to every single one of you? How many people have had their encounter with Christ? Their supernatural encounter. You remember it, don't you? You won't forget it. It's a Saul to Paul type of change. So because he knows that he is in this fold as an apostle, he knows that he's part of this bigger picture, he knows that he looks at himself from this place of, I don't deserve to be in those positions. I don't deserve that, but because Christ, you have called me to this, therefore I am. And he knows that that is the only qualifier that he needs. I want you to write that down. Pastor just said, write this down. Good Christian listeners will obey that statement. And write this down. The only qualifier you need to determine what you are able and capable to do in the kingdom of God is because Jesus Christ said, you are qualified. That's it. Do you know that, Ryan, you are qualified to administer the gospel message of Jesus Christ? Do you know that? Why? Who said you are qualified? That's correct. Jesus says you're qualified. That's it. That's it. So where are all the Pauls? If you can write this thing down and you can say that Jesus says that you're qualified and that he's given you the Great Commission, he's told you that you are qualified to go do this, where are we? And here's the best part. This is why I love this. He made it simple. Whether it's I or they, we preached. And so you believed. Whether it is I or they, do we value the gospel message other than any other message? Think about what I just said. Do we focus on the other messages from other parts of the body than the gospel? What am I talking about? Oh, I'm talking about the church, not just here. And I'm talking about so many people going, yeah, but you know, they preach that whatever, blah, 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 and they do the thing with the beads and all that jazz, and oh, you know, they make this stuff and do all this laundry list of junk and blah, blah, blah. Why are you focusing on all the other messages that they preach? Why don't you focus on the one message and check to see if they preach that? They do need to preach that. That is a must. Because Paul is saying that the message that they preach is what? The gospel message. Where is this actually exemplified? Well, Paul exemplified it. Where did they not agree? Does anybody know where Paul and the apostles don't agree on? Does anybody know their Bible well enough? What was the major staple that Paul said and they said no? Bing, that's the big one. Paul believed that circumcision was something that belonged to everybody. He was like, this was only for Jews, but now I'm talking to Gentiles and I'm saying no. Same thing. You all, and they're like, no. That's a Jew thing. Don't introduce that to the Gentiles. Paul goes, are we going to let them just be unclean? Why are we doing this? They didn't agree. But what did they agree on? There was still only one way to the Father, and that was through the Son, Jesus Christ. So when Paul says this, he understands that they will not agree in every single thing they say, that we will not agree in every area. We will not agree on every principle and every building block and every foundational amount of truth that is in the Bible. But what we will agree on is that there is only one way to be saved, and that is through faith and salvation in Christ Jesus. And that's all that mattered. And that is what he is saying here. Whether it is I or it is they, that means if I'm doing it, fantastic, that's great. If they do it, that's fantastic, that's great, as long as you believe. The rest, it doesn't matter. The infusion of politics in the church, divisions of religious sects, focus on knowledge over faith, these have led to the slow collapse of not just the church, but the kingdom move of God in these generations. Because we become so fixated on a specific message, a specific brand. I didn't want to talk about this because I don't even know if they exist anymore, but when I was working a long time ago back at the one Fast Signs, this guy comes in and he's got tattoos like a biker, okay? Dude's tatted up, arm sleeves, he's got stuff on his, like, little bit of stuff you can see on the bottom of his neck and around his collarbone and stuff, but he's also wearing, like, a button-up shirt and a suit and a, you know, like a tie and all this stuff, and he's got dress slacks on and nice shoes, and he comes in, and we're talking, and he wants to get stuff done, and it's for a church. Cool. The church is called Inc. Church. The church is dedicated to people like him who have a lot of tattoos and ink on them, but also have received the gospel message and salvation of Jesus Christ. Do you want to know what's probably not welcome at your mom's church? That guy covered head to toe in tattoos. Or that biker dude that got saved, right? Or that guy who you've been ministering to down the street who's been part of a gang and he's got all kinds of gang symbols and tattoos on him. But you know what? You finally broke through because you've been talking to him and showing the love of Christ and now he wants to get saved. You want to bring him to church, but he gets exiled immediately on upon arrival. Because we won't like his kind in here. He's scaring the kids. But he wants to get baptized. What are you going to do? I turned around and I go, it doesn't matter what else you do, as long as that gospel message is being preached, I am on board with that move. What Bible version? Doesn't matter. What are your tenets of faith? The only one that really matters is that you understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to earth, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life to then be crucified on the cross, paying for all sins of all mankind, to then come back and be revived, to then take death and give us salvation. Amen? If you believe that, that's simple. I can go preach that message and let these people hear the gospel that they need to hear. Whether it is I or they. We preach, and so they believed. Understanding that this is informational and drawing very clear picture of the degradation of the church and its clear impact on society, which thank you for submitting to this today, especially how it's affecting these current generations. How can we receive correction if we do not draw close enough to one another and hear and see where our deficiencies lie? Some of the hardest things we will have to do is to swallow our pride, admit we were wrong, admit we've made mistakes, admit we've messed up. But the key is not going through and repeating them again and again and again. And our focus and our eyes should be fixed on Christ and His love for these generations that are falling away at an out of control rate. Church, we need to get it together. Amen. And there's more to come on how we're going to do it, what it looks like, what we need to do it. But if we're not willing to admit we've messed up, if we're not willing to admit we've dropped the ball, and I want to be clear about this. Parents, hands up. The hardest thing you will ever have to do is probably repent to your children for the things that you've done. Okay? Or haven't done. It's gonna suck. It's gonna sting. It's gonna be really tear jerky. I get it. But you know what? Do you care more about your pride and your ego? Or do you care more that your kids aren't gonna have to go through the same junk that you went through? Because the example starts with whether or not you're gonna get down on your knees, you're gonna repent, and you're gonna set the right tone and the right example for what it means to not just honor God, but to live the gospel, to preach the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Because how are they going to receive something they don't even know exists in you? You're allowing that to be done through a perfect stranger they never met in hopes that they'll listen. When you, as an ambassador of your household and family, have the ability to set that tone today. That's not even in my message. That's just God. So hear what He's saying. Amen? Amen. So Father, we thank You. We love You, God. We want to honor You. We want to serve You in fulfilling that great commission. But forgive us, God. Forgive us for being so consumed with ourselves, so consumed with a work, a ministry, numbers, butts in seats, our work, our personal life, the day to day, and not seeing the importance of speaking to this generation and the generations that are coming up. Living a life that is honorable, living a life that sets that example for them and models it for them, and encouraging them and preaching that gospel. Forgive us, Lord, for being silent. Forgive us, Lord, for not seeing the urgency. I pray, Lord, that it's not too late. And I pray, Lord, that we can make up for the lost ground. Father, may we have the fortitude and the integrity, God, to stand with you and fight for this generation and get ourselves back onto your kingdom goal and your kingdom plan so that we can see you come. Have your way, Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.